Am I? Yes, good. I can hear that now. The subject this morning is I Am, the Door and the Good Shepherd. And just a little bit of trivia. Anybody know where the word, the expression by hook or by crook comes from? No. Well, the hook part has to do with the hook knife. And the crook part has to do with the shepherd's hook. And back in the day, the peasants were allowed to collect firewood from the forests. And if they can, as long as they can reach the branches, the low-hanging branches, with either the hook or the crook, they can have those pieces of firewood. So by hook or by crook is by any means necessary. Piece of trivia, but hey. Hook has to do with the shepherd, because we see the shepherd carrying the hook. And what's the hook for on the for the shepherd? Not to bring down branches. Yeah, the hook is for rescuing sheep, because sheep get caught in cracks. Sheep are not too bright. They have a tendency to wander. They have a tendency to get into all kinds of trouble. And sometimes the man cannot climb down to get a sheep because it's really stuck in there. He's stuck. How on earth did you get in there? Never mind, I got a hook. Or rather, a crook. I don't want to cut him out. I have a crook. Go down, yank him up by his legs or by his chest, and he's out, and he can be saved. That's the hook and the crook. The subject is I am the door and the good shepherd, and that comes from John chapter 10. But we want a little background. But before I even go there, I'm going to make some statements here, which hopefully... I just did a little thing with the kids on Tuesday this week, and we talked about creation and that kind of stuff, and we came to the conclusion here. Reason, science, and logic will lead us to the conclusion that there must be a transcendent, omnipotent first cause. Doesn't lead us to God as we know it, but leads us to the understanding that there must be a transcendent, omnipotent first cause. So if anybody says they're reasonable, they don't believe in God, nope. You want to cover that? I'll talk to you. About 5 minutes. But only revelation from the one, the transcendent first cause, who was before, the I Am of the Bible tells us. Now, we believe that that book, the Bible, is the revelation from the transcendent first cause. And it will tell us who he is, what he has done, and what he will do. And this is what we are going to be doing today. I am the door and the good shepherd. Little background. Jesus was teaching these to Jewish people. Jewish people have a cultural background. You have to understand the cultural background to understand the relevance of what is being taught. We turn to Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1 to verse 10. Oh, let me, before I go there, we're talking about this. I've got my slides all of these words here. Right, sheep rearing. Sheep rearing in Bible times. This walled area is called a sheep pen, place where you put the sheep for safety at night. Sheep can't live there, of course. They have to go out to the pasture to feed and to the brook to drink. But this is a place where you keep the sheep safe. And right by the sheep's pen, there's a spot here called the door. Pretty obvious, a door. Right in the door sits the shepherd. See what happened in shepherds of those days in the Middle East? Was that shepherds were the door to the sheep pen. You had to get past the shepherd to get in. You have to get past the shepherd to get out. When the shepherd takes the sheep out during the day, when the sheep comes back, see this bar here? The shepherd stands right here and counts every sheep as he goes through the bar. He doesn't fall asleep, by the way. He counts every sheep as he goes through under the bar so he knows that none is missing. And then he's allowed to sit under there and be the door physically so the animals don't come, the wild animals don't come in without going past him. The walls are high enough so that wolves and that kind of wild animal have hard time getting in. But then you have those who, men, who climb over them, ladders and such, go in there and steal the sheep. And some of these sheep pens have got a bunch of brambles all around there. That's called the Middle Eastern long biblical time burglar alarm system. Because when you climbed up there, you rustle the thing and the burglar alarm control system right here say, whoa, and out comes the... I guess he could use the hook there, couldn't he? So this is the background of sheep, shepherds, doors, and sheep pens. Now, bad shepherds. Ezekiel 34, verse 1 to verse 10, page 903 in your pew Bibles. I will just read it. Let God speak for himself. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, that is to Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. The shepherds was the figure for the leaders. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and severity you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd. They become food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountain and on every high hill. My flock was scattered all over the surface of the earth, and there was no one to seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God. As a matter of fact, as I live, it's interesting, because he is, I am, being, he is life. So he says, as I live, it means, you know, the most absolute statement. As I live, declares the Lord God, because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, I am against the shepherds. I will demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I will deliver my flock from their mouth so that they will not be food for them. So that's bad shepherds. And you can see the picture here of wandering sheep all over the place. Now this is not a good place. This is the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because the wild animals hide in there and the sheep don't necessarily see them. And they can come out, snatch them and have a nice dinner. So sheep scattered all over the mountains. In that same passage, God talks about a good shepherd. And the good shepherd is always watching over his sheep. And his sheep are gathered, not scattered. Verse 11 of Ezekiel 34, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. Man, you're I myself, right? As the shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he's among his scattered sheep, so will I care for my sheep and deliver them from all the places for which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountain of Israel, by the stream, and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down, and on a good grazing ground, and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. Going down to verse 23, he says, then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. You realize that Ezekiel was born after David was died? So it means my servant David's final progeny. My servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then they will know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And the last verse that we want to look at is verse 31. For as for you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, you are men, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. Now this has been carefully taught to the people of Israel. So those listening to Jesus in John chapter 10 has this as their background. Now we go to John chapter 10. I am the door, from verse 1 to verse 10. That's page 1123 in the Pew Bible. You need that. And I'll read it with some comments on words that caught my eye. John chapter 10, verse 1 to 18. We want to read and see what the passage says. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold, and the fold is a walled enclosure, the walled enclosure either to enclose human activity or to protect livestock, enter by the door of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper. And the doorkeeper is the word for door watcher. Opens. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. In verse 4 it says, when he puts forth all his own, that is, he leads them out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know or recognize his voice. A stranger they will simply not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know or recognize the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Using I am. I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear, or hear is to believe something and to respond to it on the basis of having heard. So it's not just merely listening. It's to respond to it. The sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And saved is the word for rescued or be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. Speaks of real peace, doesn't it? The thief comes only to steal and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now that's a great word, abundantly. It's more than enough. It's overflowing. It's beyond the norm. It is superfluous. It is like, wow. And then he goes on in verse 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. So let's look at that. I am the good shepherd. Remember Ezekiel 34, what the good shepherd does. The good shepherd lays down, or lays down is the word to remove or take off, like in clothing. He can take off. I remove my life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand. What's a hired hand? I guess it's pretty obvious. A hired worker with no ownership. He has no commitment to the sheep. Another shepherd who is not the owner of the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Remember the bad shepherd in Ezekiel 34. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. He's not concerned because he has no personal stake. He gets paid nevertheless. I mean, you know, why should I get myself all beat up, eaten, scratched, and whatever? It's not my sheep. I just do the job. I am the good shepherd, and I know, or I'm thoroughly familiar with my own, and my own know, or is thoroughly familiar with me. Even as the Father knows me, same word, and I know the Father, same word, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Skipping to verse 17, it says, for this reason my Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I can take it up again. See the idea of taking off clothing? He can put it back on again. Now this is interesting. He doesn't lose his life. He took off his life. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay down on my own initiative. My own initiative, by myself, with no coercion from outside. I have the authority. Interesting word, authority. Exousia. I was the only one I'm going to put the Greek down because it sounds, whoa. I like that. The power or rule of government. A power that's inherent in the person. His rank. Power from his rank. From the authority, I have authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This commandment or order I receive from my Father. And I think that the passage is pretty self-explanatory as what it's saying. Now, what does it mean? We're going to look at it a bit at a time. I am, we learned last week, is the name of God, Yahweh. The one who created, the one who was always there. The eternal, self-existing, omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient God. It's the name that says, hand, behold. Nail, behold. If you remember, you put your right hand up yesterday. I mean, last week. Name that says, hand, behold, nail, behold, is salvation. I am says that Jesus, when he says I am, he's saying I'm co-equal with the Father. I am the Creator God. Let's have no mistake about that. Not second-class God. He is the Creator God. He says I and the Father are one. In the Jewish mind, there can only be one God because Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Ahad. Hear, O Israel, your Lord, your God. The Lord is one. There can only be one God. Jesus has to be God if Jesus claims to be one with God. All right, go on there. The next one, the next concept we want to look at is, what does it mean being the door? Now, the door is the only acceptable way for rescue and safety. He says, you can only come into the sheep pen through the door, and you can only leave on the sheep pen for pasture through the door. The door is the only way, acceptable way for rescue and safety. That means that all other ways are false. There is no other way except through Jesus, the door. All right, what does it mean? The good shepherd. We know the background of the good shepherd. A little more than this, Jesus goes ahead and expands on that. And he says, the good shepherd is not a hired hand. He has personal stake and commitment. Now this applies to me. He has a personal stake and commitment to me. He is Yahweh, Creator. I am, being before time. One who created the universe with the word of his mouth. He has a personal commitment to me. He says he lays down his life for his sheep. And he says, I'm his sheep. He lays down his life for me. Voluntarily, not because of some freak of nature, not because of some nasty circumstance. He laid down his life freely of his own accord for me. No one coerced him. Indeed, no one can, because he has the authority, remember. He voluntarily did it. It also says that he's thoroughly familiar with whom? With me. Wow. Why would God want to know me? Who am I? That's the song that goes. Who am I that the Lord of creation would want to know me? Just think what that means to you. And he has, and always will have that great word exousia, the authority to do these things. Now, faith lessons. What do we learn from this? We learn that the most powerful being, I say being because he's no creature, he was there from the beginning, he was there before. The most powerful being in the universe has a personal commitment to me. I like this little piece. I kind of, you know, darken it a little bit so you can read the words, but that shows Jesus giving the believer a hug when he gets into heaven, and that brings all kinds of tears to my eyes, because why me? the most important, the most powerful being in the universe is a personal commitment to me. Now, this week is rather special for me, particularly me. And I think that some of you may identify with this situation anyway. This week, 9 years ago, I received a kidney. Without that kidney, I'm not standing in front of you here talking about all this. I got 9 years of fruitful ministry because of that. I'm really grateful. But that was a hard, scary, frightening time. And in that time, there was one particular part of scripture really spoke to my heart. So I ask you, if you have some difficulty in your life, you have some tough situation facing you, the future is unknown. It was to me like a tunnel, dark with no light at the end of it. You're losing your kidney. Maybe you would go through dialysis, which means that functionally you're useless. All you do is trying to keep alive, as my doctor said, keep you alive until you can get a transplant. That's not a lot, you know, to look forward to, because a transplant is hard to come by. Someone in this church gave me his kidney. That is another story that I love to tell. Never finished telling it. 9 years ago. February 10th, 2003. But here's a psalm that really spoke to my heart, and I'd like to read it to you. I'd like you to turn to it. It's on page 656, Psalm 139. And that is the verse that really spoke to my heart. If you're going through trouble, you're having uncertainty in your life, oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and you are intimately acquainted with all my ways. My sheep know me, and I know my sheep. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. We are in his pen at night. We're safe. He himself is the barrier against things that would hurt us. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. My words, I'm just blown away. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. Okay, that's obvious. If I made my bed in Sheol, the place of the dead, hell, behold, you are there. God is in hell. Wow, really? Just in case I got, you know, put in the wrong place. Lord, you know me. You're intimately acquainted with me. He's there. There's no place in the universe that God is not there, even hell. Yeah, Satan's not there yet. Satan's running around the earth, deceiving us that he's there. If I take the wings of the dawn and dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand would lead me and your right hand lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me. We live in a very dark time, don't we? Uncertainty, economic and otherwise. We don't know what's going on in the Middle East. We don't know if those guys in Iran want to play around with the nuclear fission and give us a nice taste of fire. We don't know that. So even surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night. I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. What will my life be like? What am I going to do with my kids when I can't work anymore? Even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. You form my inward parts. I love the King James Version here. See, it says, you form my kidneys. Yeah. And wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. I remember having some problem with one of the treatments, and then I caught what is called peritonitis. Oh, don't get peritonitis. Every curve in the road on the way to the hospital, you felt it, because your stomach was burning. But you form my inward parts. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What about peritonitis? I went to the hospital, they put me on the machine, to try to keep me alive. Oh man, the machine beat and carried on. They put all kinds of things around my legs. They puffed up and down and all this. Felt like I was get stuck in the cave. I tore some of the stuff off. Couldn't stand it. They came right in, emergency, right? Your heart stopped. I'm a bad patient. But wonderful of your work. My soul knows it real well because all that stuff, one little kidney about the size of your fist. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, speaks of when you were made an embryo. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. I like to put it this way. Your eyes have seen my embryonic stem cells. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Should I count them, they would outnumber the sand. You know, if you count sand, it's like counting sheep. Yeah, counting sheep. Then they fall asleep because it's kind of boring. This is the word picture here. I'm counting the blessings from God and I fall asleep. Now, he's a busy God. He's got the universe to take care of. You know, I mean, he doesn't have to hang around sleeping believers. But when I wake up, he didn't leave. He's right there. When I awake, I'm still with you. Now, if that doesn't touch your heart, I guess your heart is kind of cold. Time to warm it up a little bit in the light of God's love. Now, the next faith lesson. If you're not there yet, if you don't know Christ, God, as your good shepherd, the lesson is the door. There's a picture of a dog, a stairs going up a door to heaven. He is the only way to God. The only way. You can't come in through the walls. You can only go through the door. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 9 is page 1225. And this is kind of one of our favorite verses at the 10 o'clock meeting to remind ourselves where we came from and what we have been given. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were dead. You were not unconscious. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh. That is, even those of us who are believers now used to be like that. So we are no better. Indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. I think of garbage trucks going into the incinerator, and I am one of them, rejoicing in my filth. And I'm going to get zapped. Now, the next verse in your Bible, that is the nicest word in the scripture, I think. And somebody should have a series of messages on the buts of the Bible. Because there's a glorious but. It says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgression, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The grace is the gift of God. As a result of work, and not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. It's not our work, it is the shepherd's work. It is the God of creation, whose name is Hand Behold, Nails Behold, salvation. Yeshua is Yahweh, Hand Behold, Nails Behold, Yasha, salvation. Yahweh is Yeshua's name is a combination of the two concepts. the concept that God is hand behold, nails behold, and the concept of salvation, being rescued. So now if you are not yet in the kingdom, do not understand the thing about the Good Shepherd, we invite you to get into that and you come through this way. Because God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, made us alive together with Christ. You know the thing about food is, if you put it in front of you, and you don't reach out and eat it, you'll still be hungry. Thing about drink is, if you're real thirsty, and put a drink in front of you, you don't reach out and drink it, you'll still be thirsty, might even die in your thirst. God puts that before each one of us here who has not received Him. That's the food, that's the drink. Reach out, drink it. My last slide is a thought for everyone. What about you? You may be outside the kingdom, look at the door. You may be inside the kingdom and going through tough times, look at the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Our Lord, our God, who is the great I Am, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is I Am, is salvation.